Join me in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13. I'll be reading through verse 18. James 1, 13 through 18. Again, just to remind you that the audience, the first audience that received this letter are dispersed. They have been, if you will, run out of Jerusalem because of the persecution. And so James has written letters to these, his people. He is a pastor. Letter to his people, trying to encourage them, teach them, give them strength to endure through the trials and struggles. And this letter corresponds with our lives today very easily, very well. We've mentioned today the heartaches and challenges of life, just by the few names we've mentioned earlier in prayer. But all of us, in one form, fashion, or another, facing trials, challenges, heartache, etc. And so these words are encouragement. And today, a bit more theological teaching than what James is known for. James, as I've said, would not be put on the top shelf of theologians. He doesn't quite rank up there with Paul or Peter, but he's the pastor. But here he does go into an area that has some theological depth that we're going to have to mine to bring out the truth that he has here for his people. So join me, James 1, 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Beautiful, beautiful teaching. That last paragraph is just beautiful to know that we Christians have a Father who is not like the changing, shifting sands, the waves of an ocean, but he is solid and sure. And he gave us birth through the truth of his word, which I hope is as precious to you as it is to me. I direct your attention to verse 16. Three words. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Now remember, this is a pastor who has written to his people. His people are facing challenges. His people are probably facing new individuals who want to instruct them, lead them along. Lots of different things facing them. And he says, don't be deceived. And then back to what we read in the last paragraph there. The word of truth is for you. Don't be deceived. You were born through the word of truth. I encourage you, don't be deceived. In our world today, deception. Being deceived. There are so many things out there in the world with an intent to deceive, with intent to mislead, with intent to misguide. I at first started out a list, and I said, there's no use in making a list. There's just too many things out there. And all of you could probably create your own things that have in your life from one time or another have misled, have deceived, and it wasn't what you thought. The ambition of the world in many cases is teaching us things that are not necessarily biblical, many things right unbiblical. But we are so overwhelmed with them and so inundated with them day in and day out, we begin teaching, and soon we are off path. To say that you are going to go through life and not face something that will mislead you, something that will deceive you, would be a farce. Deceptions are coming. Being deceived is there. The opportunity to be deceived is there. The question is not if, it's just a simple when, or in what context and by whom. But the real question is this. The issue is this. Are you well prepared to face that opportunity of deception? Are you well prepared to face that thing, that person, that one who comes to you? Are you prepared to face them? Are you well trained to prepare and prepared to face them? Or are you one who will be easily deceived and therefore struggle even greater through the times, the difficult times? This week I passed along an article through the email addresses I have that you've given that allow me to pass on pieces of information to you. This week I passed an article along to you, and the author speaks very much along these lines. The author writes, "I may not feel the presence of God, but I know that He is sovereign, that He cares for me, and that He is close to the brokenhearted. I can endure whatever situation He has ordained for me. It's precisely because of the emotional ups and downs of life that the Christian must be rooted in theology," meaning well taught. "The Christian must be rooted in theology, in the objective truth about God in His Word." In that same article, C.S. Lewis is quoted. He says, "If you do not listen to theology," again, being trained, being taught in theological things, "if you do not listen to theology, that will not mean that you have no ideas about God. It will mean you have a lot of wrong ones, bad, muddled, out-of-date ideas." Remember, he's English, so muddled. This is what Pastor James is teaching his people. This is precisely his point. He says to his people, if I may paraphrase, "I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the truth. I want to displace any wrong notions that you might have about God. I want you to be strong through the trial and not fall away, not become overburdened in your challenges because of a bad theology." And please, when I use the word theology, we are simply talking about the study of God. So what is James trying to teach his people? Precisely here. God is not the source or the cause of evil. Now, we could spend hours here delving into evil, the source of evil, etc. James did not do that. He simply made the truthful point. God is not the source or cause of evil. He says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.'" The sin that these individuals are facing, the evil which has approached them that has caused them to fall away, obviously, evidently, there are some who are saying it's possibly God. And James is saying emphatically, no. The sin of which you are suffering did not come from God. The sin from which you suffer comes from an internal desire. Your trouble, James is writing, again I paraphrase, your trouble is from within. How radical an idea, especially for us today, that I am responsible for my own sin. I am responsible for my own faltering. In today's world, we are teaching and being taught that I am to blame for nothing. My environment, my surroundings, my parents, the people I hang out with, yes, those have influence, but they are not the cause of my sin. I am responsible for my sin. That is what James is teaching. So let's dig in here a little deeper. It's safe to say that many of us, if not all of us, know someone, maybe even ourselves, who have stumbled and distanced ourselves, or if you've known someone who's distanced themselves under the pressure of trouble and tragedy. Trial and heartache, troubles, trials come. Instead of running to God, they run away. and distance themselves and fall away. The call to maturity of which James is teaching here is totally abandoned in favor of the desire to give up, the desire to turn away from God. You see, and this is one of the truths that James is teaching here, every trial, every heartache, every challenge contains within it a temptation. Every trial, every challenge, every heartache contains within it a temptation. In each trial, each heartache, each challenge we face, we have a decision to make. Will we see this as an opportunity for maturity and ask the question, pray, God, show me what you have for me in this? Or will we decide that it's just too hard and move toward the temptation of disobedience and falling away? Every challenge, every trial, every heartache we face, we have a decision to make. Everything depends on our response and the use we make of our circumstances. Instead of saying, why me? You say, what now, Lord? What would you have for me in this, Lord? Now, I will emphasize a point I made in the very first sermon. This is not Christianity 101. This is not the basics that you might see taught in the children's Sunday school class. These people are facing life and death situations. They are facing the very existence of themselves in this culture. And James wants them to be ready. He is a pastor who cares and loves for his people. And the best thing this pastor can do for his people is to teach them the truth. Because the truth will be the foundation of which you stand on when all the deceptions come to face you. I believe that in my heart. The best way I can show you that I love you, the best way I can show you that I care for you, is to teach you the truth. Is to tell you the truth as the Holy Spirit has given in His Word. I love you. I care a great deal for what happens to you. And so I teach. I pray that it will uphold you through those trials. But there is a decision to make in each of these trials, in each of these heartaches, in each of these challenges. What decision will they make? James is leading the people and us to face the flaw in ourselves, and that flaw reveals itself in the time of trial. It's always easier to throw up our hands and quit. It's always easier to throw up our hands and say, I'm not facing this. I'm turning away. That's the easy way. That trial becomes the temptation to fall away, the temptation to turn away, and so often we listen. Will we persevere and go with God and pray, Lord, teach me through this, lead me to maturity through this, or will we listen to that voice in our minds which tempts us with the easier way of disobedience and disloyalty? Did you know that falling away during a trial is actually disobedience? In Revelation, John writes, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. Be faithful. He didn't say, try to do the best you can. No, he said, be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Be faithful. Faithlessness, the lack of faith, the lack of trust in these hard times is disobedience. And I know who I'm talking to, and I know there are heartaches and trials out here right now. And it's easy for me to stand here and preach this. It's the truth. it's easy for me to stand here and preach this. It is hard and difficult for you to sit there and listen through the filter of your life and what you are going through or what you have just gone through. And know how hard life is. Temptations come. And here's the deep theological truth that James brings out that we must say here. Where does this temptation to fall away come from? Is it God? Is he responsible for evil? However, you know, he created all things. He ordains all things. Well, certainly we can't go there. And James answers the question. He notes where the temptation is from, and he states emphatically where it is not from. Look with me again at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That is a theological, doctrinal truth that will never change because we are speaking of the character and nature and being of God. And he never changes. And so this statement is true forever. God cannot be tempted, nor does he ever tempt anyone. Put that to heart, put it to rest, it'll never happen. But so is verse 14. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. The temptation to fall away, the temptation to turn away, the temptation to be disobedient is not from God. It's right here. Actually, it starts here in the thinking. Yes, God does ordain all things, and it might be easy for the less informed, the less trained, the less theological astute to say during the trials, this is not my fault. God ordains all things, and so this is Him. This is His. He put me here. He knows where I am. He put me in this situation. I can blame God for this. Was it not His will? Did he not ordain this temptation? Be careful of your theology there. Again, James responds beautifully, but emphatically, God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt. God and evil, and preaching to the choir, God and evil are so diametrically opposed, the difference cannot be measured. The divine nature of God is of such immeasurable goodness that it's impossible for him to be even in the near presence of evil. And in his divinity and in his love and care for you, he cannot harm those he loves. Now, allowing a trial to come in your life does not say that he doesn't love you. Please hear that. He disciplines those he loves. He allows the trials to come like the refining fire to purify and cleanse and mature. The path toward Christianity is hard. It is demanding. It consists of tests. It consists of trials. Our God loves us, and yet He allows, and in that love, He allows the trials to come because He wants us to be strong, mature, upstanding Christians. It's just like your children. You don't put your children off in a box, and then when they turn 18 years of age, say, okay, come out, go live. Failure, incredibly. All right, same way with you in Christ, through God. He doesn't want you to not be able to live life. And so trials come. Response of endurance and persistence is required. The passing the test results in maturity And as verse 12 we preached on last week, the end in receiving the crown of life. We do get the crown of eternal life in that perseverance. But the opposite, the downward path of falling away is much easier. Falling away is easy. Just simply do nothing. But see, nothing is not nothing. Doing nothing is born out of a desire of disobedience, a desire within their heart to say, God can't help me here. God is not strong enough. That desire arises within us, and that desire turns to thoughts, and those thoughts turn to actions, and those actions result in sin. Sin, as we are taught in Scripture, produces death. Our natures are sinful, and they will act according to their nature. And as James writes, death awaits those who indulge the desires of the sinful nature. No, we can't blame God. No, we can't blame our parents. No, we can't blame our environment. We can't blame the way we're raised. Those are aspects. They all have a place. But ultimately, and in final statement, our sin swells up from a desire within us. And the decision made, do we follow or fall away? But James is the good pastor. He doesn't leave his people there, nor does the Holy Spirit leave you there. Again, look with me at verse 16. He says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers, sisters, please, of course. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven, of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all created. Notice the statement, my dear brothers and sisters. He is now speaking to believers. He has now turned his attention to the believer, and he says he chose to give us birth. Remember, he's speaking of the death and sin. All right, death and sin is not ours. He's given us birth. Yes, we are alive in Christ Jesus. Yes, we're plagued by our sinful natures. I have confession here every Sunday because we need it. I need it. We are plagued by our sinfulness. And while spiritual death does not await the believer, our desires can still give birth to sin, and sin always disappoints the Father. Sin always disappoints the Father, and sin causes that distance between us to grow. No, there is not ultimate death for the believer, but there is heartache by the Father for the sin of our lives. Repentance, confession, praying for strength in the Holy Spirit. This is the way of the believer. And when that desire in the believer, you're all faced with it. I am. We're all faced with it. That point of decision. You see the temptation come. A decision is to be made. Which way do we go? There's where a little prayer, a little encouragement by the Holy Spirit, a little singing of a hymn, a little reminder of the word memorized comes to mind. And you say, thank you, Lord. And you turn away from that temptation. Folks, it's imperative that we know our theology. It's imperative we know the doctrines of Christianity. Where does evil come from? Where does sin come from? Is God responsible? Am I responsible? No and yes. When we face trials, a good theology will uphold you. When you're facing that trial, that is not time to have the questions about your faith. When you face the heartache, that is not the time to question. No, that's the time to lean heavily upon the teachings of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, the Word of truth, which James cites gives us life. Do all you can to pursue the truth. Do all you can to learn everything you can about our God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the work of the Holy Spirit. Because there will be a day, and some of you can give me testimony right now, there will be a day when you need that truth. James says, don't be deceived. I pray you not be deceived. Amen. Amen.